This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. This has been a great week of featuring new guests that we haven't had on the show yet. And joining me now is a writer for Reason, The Federalist, Newsweek, Town Hall. He's been featured in several different outlets. His name is Peter Pitschke. He joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at HappyWarriorP. Peter, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my honor to be here. Thank you, Grace.
Now, Peter, I do want to talk to you about the opioid crisis that our country is dealing with, and we will get into all of that. But let's start on a little bit of a lighter note here. You did have a pretty awesome piece about Elon Musk. You feel betrayed by the Doge King. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, I like many people who are conservative-leaning, but not just conservative. Had bought in or trying to support Elon Musk's buyout of Twitter, and it was something he had said wanted to be about making it a free speech platform. And people had given his support and was uncertain totally how serious he was because he has an interesting history with business. And unfortunately, it turned out that this wasn't really the Tesla or the SpaceX with Elon Musk. This was more like his other ventures, and it seems like the only thing he really was serious about was using the Twitter bio as an excuse to liquidate Tesla stock.
Yeah, it is a bummer. I was disappointed as well, Peter. All right, now let's move on to a few heavier things here. There's been a lot of focus on Supreme Court rulings over the past couple of months, but one of them that I hadn't really read a lot about that you kind of turned my attention to is a ruling they made about doctors who write prescriptions in good faith. Can you explain a little bit of that to my audience?
I'd love to. So amidst all the furor we had with all the different Supreme Court rulings between the ones about guns and abortion, we had a decision that maybe is as important as any of the rest of them, and that is Ruan versus United States. In that case, it was about two physicians, Dr. Khan from Wyoming and Dr. Ruan from, I believe, Indiana, if I could be, no, Kentucky. And they had been arrested by law enforcement and for over-prescribing for patients. And when they had their cases in court, they said, can we please have testimony to talk about what prescribing pain patients is really like and all the intersecting interests that go into it? And the courts at that time said, no, you can't do that. Well, that case was appealed and eventually taken to the Supreme Court, who, it was a surprise to those that pay attention to this issue, took it up. And in unanimous ruling, they ruled in favor of the doctors and said that this had to go back down to the courts and that you have to seriously look at when doctors are being arrested for this. Did they have good reason to prescribe as they did? This is referred to as the so-called good faith. Did the doctors, under the best knowledge they had and the best intent, try to make the best outcome? You can be a doctor and be doing a really bad thing and you do it on purpose and you know it's shady as heck. Or you could be a doctor that makes a mistake and you really were trying to do the right thing after all. And that's an important factor. And it's a huge step in the way of protecting doctors that prescribe patients. And it's a huge step in just medical freedom in general.
Now, Peter, I do want you to go in a little bit on the details of what our overdose crisis looks like in America right now, because this is kind of one of those headlines. You see it every once in a while. Fox and other places will do pieces and packages on this. But how bad is it right now? And what are kind of some of the factors that are fueling this?
The overdose crisis is pretty severe. Last year, we had over 100,000 overdose deaths, mostly related to at least opioids, but also other hard drugs. Over the last decade to 12 years, we'd have anywhere from 500,000 deaths to about a million. So it's a pretty serious thing. It's up there now that it's, you know, it fights sometimes alcohol deaths and automobile deaths for top tier slot on what's unfortunately killing Americans. You see it in the media almost exclusively with the documentaries and shows, and they make it about a prescribing issue. You know, I had a knee injury. I saw my doctor prescribe me pain pills. I got addicted, and then I OD'd.
Right.
That, unfortunately, isn't really what the stats show. The vast majority, when we're talking 95% plus, of people who are dying of overdoses from opioids are not prescribed by doctors. It's fentanyl. They're usually taking an illicit substance or something they think might be a pain pill they bought off the black market, and it's laced with fentanyl that's come through the black market, usually from China or south of the border. And that's what's killing people. And it's not necessarily that we're having higher rates of addiction, but the substance people take to abuse drugs is so much more lethal than it was before.
Do you think, Peter, that that could be part of the reason why there does seem to be this willful ignorance on the part of some media outlets where they don't really want to go near this? Because to go near it means you are going to have to talk about where a lot of these illegal drugs are coming from?
Definitely. 100%. I agree on that. It is a different, there are many cultural factors here that make it a hard topic to go into. You have, of course, the dealing with so many who are disabled, dealing with people who may not be able to get the top quality health care. You know, many of these people are people that have been affected by the downturn in Appalachia, for example. You know, what policies caused that? And you are definitely right. Where this stuff is coming from is super important. And unfortunately, the DEA and most of law enforcement, and this was true under the Trump administration, but especially the Biden administration, the way they want to deal with this issue is not going after the stuff and the people that brought into the country that's actually killing people. They want to focus on doctors and patients, which are basically low-hanging fruit. You know, it's really hard to track down the cartel or someone that is selling illicit drugs. It's really easy to go after Dr. Smith and their, you know, 50 slightly disabled patients. It's a serious problem. I think for reporters, they are often willingly negligent because there are all these complicated factors and they just want an easy thing to report on and they want to fit in their own political biases. And, you know, that does a huge problem, not just those who are affected by this or those who OD in their families, but the country as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm speaking with Peter Pitschke. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Happy Warrior P, and he writes for a variety of different outlets. One of the outlets you wrote for, Newsweek, you talked about another thing that's happening as far as kind of theater goes. There's a lot of virtue signaling as an attempt to make things right when it comes to these opioid deaths. And you mention one and you say that it's really the Department of Justice is not doing enough as far as, you know, finding some justice for these families. And instead, what we're getting is theater. Explain that.
No, exactly. This is one of the more frustrating things for me. Those people that have authority maybe to do something to curb these deaths or to seek some kind of justice for the deaths and the overdoses that have already happened aren't really taken all that seriously. The majority of the focus for the Department of Justice is to go after the big bucks. Where can they go? Where all the trial lawyers are going and the big litigation firms? Can we go for the big pharmaceutical companies and see if we can shake them down for money? And I know that's kind of a harsh way to put it, but I don't really have another way to explain it. For example, people know the Purdue family. They are the ones behind, the Sackler family. They're behind Purdue Pharma, which made OxyContin. Many people have seen that story in TV, movies, documentaries, etc.
Yeah.
And so people would say, okay, if they were really doing wrong, then go after them. But what we've seen now is that Purdue has made several settlement agreements with the different states and companies and say, okay, we admit we did some wrongdoing here. We will pay out this to victims. We'll reorganize our company and put it in a trust. They're taking all these elaborate steps. But they say at the end, if we agree to the settlement, which might be $6 billion, and the last one I read, I think, was $4 billion, then you can no longer keep coming after us. You know, in the world of litigation, no company is going to agree to a settlement where it doesn't say you can't sue me again right after I sign this. And the DOJ is saying, for whatever reason, no, you don't get that protection, which is confusing to a lot of people because, if you are serious about helping people and getting restitution, you want to get that money to the families pronto. You want to have a concrete end. And here they're saying, no, that's not good enough. And they're not really explaining why. And every time the states come together or it looks like we're coming together some kind of win or settlement, the DOJ tries to upturn it. And it's very frustrating because people are given the impression that our leaders are taking this seriously and their concerns are being met. And, you know, if you followed, sadly, the Purdue Pharma earlier this year in spring, they got all these victims of the opioid crisis to speak directly to the Sacklers. And the media were like, this is amazing. Finally, we're getting justice. But the media wasn't there to tell people, oh, by the way, none of that amounted to anything. We just took all these people who went through the worst experience in their lives, put it before the public, and nothing is going to happen because of it. And that is just outrageous, no matter what side of the issue you come from. How this issue has been handled by those who have authority is egregious.
Peter, there does seem to be a lot of, like we were talking about, I don't want to say people are ignoring this problem, but it doesn't create the same amount of urgent headlines that some other topics do. Do you see that changing anytime soon?
I think it will change because I think as it affects people, but you know, the problem with this issue is there's not an easy political win for anyone because everyone has a little bit of blood on their hands or mud on their boots, however you want to put the phrase. So it's not like you can easily use this to run a political campaign on. It's a hard issue if you want to try to deal with it in law enforcement. Media loves this because it makes for a very easy narrative, and that's why we're going to continue seeing documentaries and movies about this topic for the next 15 years. But I think it is changing in that the sense that as more people are affected, they lose access to pain care for their issues. There was a study earlier this year that found that access to pain medicine for even long-term cancer patients had dropped by over a third. So as this affects more and more people, both from the patient side and those who are families of the victims, there's going to be some pressure building. And it may not at first look like it's a big deal, but enough pressure, enough people are affected, cracks are going to start to form. At least that's what I hope will happen.
Peter Pitschke, we thank you so much for coming on the program, and we'll definitely have you on again soon. Tell people where they can follow you and where they can read all of your work.
Thank you. Yeah, I work with Young Voices. It is a libertarian journalism outfit. You can find me at Happy Warrior P. I write frequently for The Federalist, Reason Magazine, Newsweek, and elsewhere. I get around. You look up my name, you can find me. And I really appreciate you having me on, Grace, because this is a tough topic and it's uncomfortable for people. So anyone that's willing to really take it on, you know, kudos to you. Thank you.
It's a tough topic. It's very important. I know it's very important to a lot of people and a lot of my listeners. So we thank you, Peter, for coming on the show. We will be right back with more. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
You guys, and you said this, Christine, you know what people are going to do when they look at this.
Sure.
Yeah, they're going to look at those last two blocks and they're going to say, well, looks like a recession to me. Feels like a recession to me.
Not Joe Biden. Doesn't feel like a recession to him. We have footage now. Joe Biden just gave a speech. How long would you clock it in at, Jared? Doesn't have to be exact. Just give us a little idea of how long our dear leader spoke to all of us peons.
I haven't gotten an official tally, and I've only seen clips. I'm going to say 11 minutes.
Wow, 11
minutes.
I'll
ask Taylor. Taylor's currently cutting it up.
Does not appear as though he took any questions.
12 minutes.
About 12 minutes. Nice guess, Jared. All righty. Yeah, so he was at the end of it. Joe Biden sprinted out of there. Do we have the sound? Let's play it.
That doesn't sound like a recession to me. Thank you very much.
And President Biden walking out of the state dining room there after refusing to accept that the country has slipped into recession.
That's John Roberts.
Nice job, John. I appreciate that. That's exactly what it is. He is refusing to accept that we've slipped into a recession. And actually, we have a great text on the text line right now that says we're transitioning or maybe that the recession identifies, the economy identifies as a recession. I would argue that if the economy is transitioning, that means the economy can identify as anything it wants. So maybe it's identifying as the Biden boom. It might feel to us like a recession, but that's not how it identifies. And how it identifies is what matters. Unless you're a biologist, you cannot tell us if we are in a recession or not. Are you a biologist? No.
And 207, he did give one short blink at the end of his speech, but his eyes were wide open as he was bugging out of there.
Yeah, what? That's a new thing for him. That's just this week, the eye thing.
Long COVID.
I don't know what that is. It's like his pupils look huge too. His eyes are just deer in the headlights.
Well, he's. I mean, that's definitely the sign that he's on some type of something.
Something. Allegedly, we don't know. We don't know.
Allegedly, yes.
844-500
pupils usually indicate that.
42. Let's play a little bit of Peter Ducey, the one horse pony with KJP. This is cut eight. He's asking her why they're trying to redefine recession. And it's amazing how you cannot get these Biden people to admit anything. So they're trying to redefine recession. And when you ask them why, they'll deny that they're trying to redefine recession, as they're also denying that we're in a recession because they're denying the dictionary definition of recession. Do I have that right? It's denial, 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 denial all day long. This is Peter Ducey, cut eight.
If things are going so great, though, then why is it the White House officials are trying to redefine recession?
No, we're not redefining recession.
If we all understand a recession to be two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth in a row, and then you have White House officials come up here to say, no, that's not what a recession is. It's something else. How is that not redefining recession?
Because that's not the definition. That is not the definition.
Brian Deese said in 2008, of course, economists have a technical definition, which is of a recession, which is two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
I can tell you this.
Yesterday he said two negative quarters of GDP growth is not the technical definition of a recession.
It is not. It is not.
Why did he say that?
It is not. I can speak to what he said yesterday in front of all of you, which is the last thing that you just repeated. There are many factors. There are many factors, economic factors and indicators to consider.
Stop. That's enough. That's enough. I love that. I can't speak to what he said when he said something else, but I can speak to what he said now that he's running cover for the Biden administration. Wonderful. Good for you.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh is right. I fluctuate, Jared, between laughter and not tears. I fluctuate between like laughter and just screaming.
Tears of rage.
I have tears of rage. It's very frustrating, though. It is, because you know what? I can handle it. I think we can all handle it. Just tell us the truth. But this whole thing of we're going to lie to you for months and months and months until, and you all know what I'm about to say. Because even if Joe doesn't think you are, I know how smart everybody out there is when you're sitting in your booth, seating your three squares. They'll lie to us until they think they can blame it on somebody else. And then we'll hear about the recession. Once it's Putin's recession, but not until then. They're all trying to figure out whose fault it is, and then we'll hear about it. 844-500-4242. We've got Aviva Trattoria's Woker Joke coming up next. Get on the lines. I want full lines before we start. Woker Joke. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And many of the significant banking personnel and economists say we're not in a recession. And
Joe we baby. I don't care what the significant banking personnel or the economists say. What do the 17 Nobel laureates have to say? I will only take my advice from the 17 Nobel laureates, not the significant banking personnel that tell us we're not in a recession.
I guess he also said Jerome Powell says we're not in a recession during the speech.
Oh, good. Does that make you feel better?
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's anybody who understands a recession, it'd be the head of the Federal Reserve.
Right? Yeah, that's very true.
Chairman, I'm sorry.
844-500-4242. Oh, now we've got Janet Yellen speaking to us. All of these people who told us inflation was going to be transitory are now coming out and telling us that we don't understand the true meaning of the word recession. And we also just don't appreciate, we lack the enzymes to appreciate how great this economy is. It's perfect. There's nothing to worry about, Joe Biden says, as he runs away from the podium.
She actually just cited the employment numbers, because the employment numbers are good, which didn't happen during the last two recessions. So therefore, ipso facto,
nothing to worry about.
We're good.
Nothing to see here, folks. Move along.
We're in a trans boom, as it is.
Yes, you're right. It's Biden's trans boom. Joining us now on the Grace Curley Show is Taylor Cormier. He's the Wizard of Woke. He joins us today for Woke or Joke. Are you ready, Taylor?
I'm ready.
All right, now, Woke or Joke is brought to you by Aviva Trattoria. Patios are open, where you can enjoy a spectacular plate of antipasto and a glass of wine. Visit them in Wrentham, Malden, Westford, Marlborough, or Maynard. And this is how it works. You call in, you stay on the line, Taylor will read you a headline. You have to decide, is it woke or is it a joke? If you win, stay on the line and you'll be entered to win a $50 gift card from Aviva Trattoria. All right, let's play that music.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay?
I started a joke.
Pink-haired wokers.
The word woke means loser.
But the joke was on me. Oh, no.
Let's start the show off with Joanna. You are first up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Joanna?
I hope so.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Joanna, here is your headline. Improved air quality is now accelerating global warming.
That's a joke.
It's not a joke. I'm sorry.
Not a joke.
Sorry, Joanna. You are our first big-time loser of Woke or Joke today. That's tough. Now, this almost feels to me, Taylor, like the Anti-Inflation Act. You're telling me cleaner air is actually fueling global warming? That seems like an oxymoron.
According to Johannes Quaas, a climate scientist at Leipzig University and the study's primary author, cleaner air has actually increased the amount of warming caused by carbon dioxide emissions over the same period of time by somewhere between 15 and 50%. Seems like somebody didn't feel like narrowing down their numbers there. Airborne fine particles are freer to bounce around and cause more damage, I guess.
So what's the solution to this? We've got to dirty up the air a little bit?
Dirty up the air, yeah.
Okay. You don't have to tell me twice.
Bring back that coal-fired power plant in Somerset.
Tom, you're up next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Tom?
Bring it on, Corn Pop. Bring it on.
All right, Tom, here's your headline. Saudi Arabia unveils The Line, a carbon-neutral city of the future.
That's not woke. That's false.
That's actually woke.
Oh, Tom.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
You're a big time loser.
You know nothing about anything, frankly. You're a loser.
All right, so tell me about this. This
is
a town?
Pretty interesting. It's a city. They're proposing converting the traditional grid layout of their cities into this 106-mile long Empire State Building high and only about, 4 or 5 football fields wide city that has mirrored walls on the outside. And it's got kind of an opening in the middle so you can get fresh air, but everybody lives inside in their little cubicles. Have you ever seen, Ready Player One? They all live in like these, or any like Star Wars movie or anything like that.
This is reminding me of like Troy.
Troy?
Yeah.
Tron?
No, Troy. Like, you know, when you read about back in history, they'd have all of these, like, fortress-like cities. They'd build the walls really high, and then you'd live inside of it.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
So this is a weird idea.
But it's all carbon neutral. It looked pretty interesting, but I don't think I'd want to live inside of a cubicle with everybody else.
Once you check in, you never check out.
And it's mirrored on the outside?
Yeah.
Bougie. All
so that's going to be great in the desert.
Everybody's job involves a can of Windex.
Yeah. Everyone's going to have their fingers on it, smudging up the mirrors.
The glare alone is going to just cover half that region.
Yeah. Aren't they worried about forest fires or anything like that?
That's the desert.
Brush fires?
Brush fires, maybe.
Hey, we're not the experts here. We shouldn't try to tell them what to do. Pat, you're up next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Pat?
Yes, I am.
All right, Pat, here is your headline. Trouble sleeping? New climate comfort app lulls you to sleep with soothing narrations of a sustainable future.
That's woke.
No, I'm sorry. That's a joke.
Oh, my gosh. Loser,
by the way,
loser, loser.
That's
quick
not
on
true.
The draw.
There's so many losers.
You know nothing about anything, frankly. You're a loser.
Oh, my gosh. Tell us a little bit about this.
That's a joke. So, I made it up.
Oh, yeah. And tell us about your creative
great
process.
Story.
There you go.
And rich.
Well, I was sitting in the back room, silently thinking of what kind of prank I could pull on the audience.
And then, boom, it came to you.
No, I had to think about this one quite a bit.
Well, it was worth it.
I'm running out of ideas.
I know. It's tough. It is tough.
I was telling Howie my ratio has gone down. I used to try to go 50-50, but you never know. It's hit or miss.
It is. That's the nature of the game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you are still trying to get on, and now's a good time, there are a few lines open. It's 844-500-4242. Let's go to Casey. You're up next on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Casey?
I was born ready.
All right, Casey. Here is your headline. L.A. veterinarian asking if animal clients identify as non-binary on intake forms.
That's woke.
It's not.
Oh, my gosh!
By the way, that was a joke. That's not true.
This is terrible!
You know nothing about anything, frankly. You're a loser.
Loser! 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 Got a bunch of losers today. Are you happy?
Oh, I'm delighted.
Yeah, you look happy.
I'm very happy.
You're a loser.
You're
the happiest I've been all day.
As far as I'm concerned, my hair's on fire right now. I want someone to win. I want someone to be entered to win the gift card to Aviva Trattoria. How else are you going to get your delicious cocktail?
Can I get entered to win?
No, you cannot.
No, that should be a rule. If I stump everybody, I get the gift card. That seems fair.
I'll ask the mailroom manager.
The FEC would.
You know what? For the sake of entertainment,
that point.
For the sake of entertainment purposes, I'll say yes. If you stump everyone, we will give you the gift card.
I'm making an executive decision that
I am not allowed to make.
This sounds like an empty promise.
Those are my favorite kind of promises. Jeff, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your headline, Jeff?
Yes, I am.
All right, Jeff, here is your headline. Newport Folk Festival includes stage powered by bicycles.
That's a joke.
It's not a joke.
Oh my gosh.
Not a
that
joke.
That gift card.
Not a joke.
Taylor wants that gift card. Sorry, Jeff.
You know nothing about anything, frankly. You're a loser.
This is amazing because now at this point, anyone who's been trying to follow the pattern of two wokes, two jokes.
It's tough to keep up.
And now it's too hard because you really don't know. So tell us about this, Taylor.
So they had a stage there. Their smaller stage had five bicycles that were hooked up to what was basically a battery. So they would take shifts. You would, first of all, pay your ticket price to get into the Newport Folk Festival. And then you would volunteer to power the stage, which it was a smaller stage, so smaller musicians, usually one, two, maybe three instruments, some mics, amps and things like that.
And you're paying to get the lights on?
Yeah, you pedal, and you're rewarded with a couple of spritzes of water from a spray bottle and an iced tea.
No, I need to be rewarded with a paycheck if I'm putting on the concert, basically. If I'm working as crew, I've crewed things before. It's not easy.
You're working in 5-minute shifts, pedaling the bike, sometimes up to 20 minutes. You can go up to 20 minutes if you want.
They should just get a bunch of potatoes. And
that's a good idea.
And then they could power it.
Remember, then you can make french fries.
Remember you had to do that in school?
Yeah.
Did it work? I can't remember.
Digital clock. Yeah. Yeah, it works.
Yeah. What about that? Get the potatoes on the bikes.
But I was reading the article in Coldplay. They have, when they go on tour, they have a kinetic dance floor. So when you're dancing on the dance floor, the impact from you dancing, if you're heavy-footed, if you're heavy of foot, then the impact will generate a little electricity to power. It's not enough to power their entire operation, obviously, but it's a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard Coldplay puts on a good show. I have heard that through the grapevine,
I've never heard that.
A lot of when I was in high school, a lot of kids would go to Coldplay concerts. I didn't.
A long time ago.
I wasn't a concert girl. No. Too loud, too chaotic, too claustrophobic for me. Let's go to Ed. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your headline, Ed?
I am.
All right, Ed, here is your headline. It's not a labor shortage. Businesses are just too big.
That sounds so woke, I'm going to say it's a joke.
We have our first entry. That's a joke.
Oh!
By the way, that was a joke. That's
nice
not
job,
true.
Ed.
Knocked me out of the running.
Nice job. That was a joke?
That was a joke.
Okay, so we can move on. Mark, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show.
I like his logic, though. It sounds very woke, so it must be a joke.
Yes, and that is good. Mark, you're next up. Are you ready for your headline, Mark?
I am, Grace.
Let's keep this streak going, Mark. Here we go.
All right, Mark, here is your headline. Chess robot grabs and breaks 7-year-old boy's finger during match.
That's a woke.
That is woke, yes.
Not a joke. Not
Why
a joke.
Why are you laughing? This little boy had his finger broken by a robot.
It's not funny at all. That's insane, though. That sounds like
Dwight
something
does not
out
play
of
a robot.
That sounds like something out of iRobot.
Yeah,
this is why people are scared. You know, I see the videos of the dog robots dancing, and I see the videos of all of these robots, and this is why people are scared, because they learn how to feel angry, and then they come and they hurt you. This is what happens with robots. How many times do we have to know? I don't even watch sci-fi and fantasy. That's Jared's thing, but I know this.
Did you see the video of this?
No, but I don't want to. Can you hear it, the finger break?
I didn't listen to it with the audio on, but the child was there, obviously screaming. I guess he went to make his move a little early before the robot was finished making its move, and the robot clutched his finger along with the chess piece and broke his finger.
Oh, yeah. My.
Screw your freedom.
That is...
The Terminator.
That's the robot's gambit. That is terrifying.
Did you also see the video of the guy who went to pick up a shark out of the water? This also involves a finger. It was a small shark.
Oh, it was like a land shark?
No, not a land shark. But it was a small shark.
Isn't that what they're called?
No, that's an SNL thing.
Oh.
Like a dogfish you're thinking of? Or
I don't know.
It was a small shark, with sharp teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he goes to pick it up by the gills. He ends up trying to pick it. It bites his pinky, and then it twists around in the water, still chomping on his pinky, and just tears it right off. And the guy just kind of walks away saying, I kind of deserve that.
Yeah. And at least it was the pinky, not the thumb.
Yeah.
You got to think on see, I'm like the people at CNN. I always find a silver lining. At least it was the pinky. We'll be right back. Taylor, can you stick around?
I've got 2 or 3 more headlines. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So stay on the lines. You still have a chance to win the Aviva Trattoria gift card. And
not a joke.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. No backyard cookout is complete without Omaha Steaks. So go to omahasteaks.com, enter Grace into the search bar, and you'll get a special price on the all-American assortment. And as a tasty bonus, you'll get 8 free Omaha Steak burgers. Visit omahasteaks.com, type keyword Grace in the search bar. You're going to love this. They're so delicious.
I'd recommend Omaha Steaks to that shark.
Yes.
Pretty hungry.
That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Grace.
Pretty good.
Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Kyrsten Sinema cave?
No.
33% say no, 67% say yes.
All right, not a lot of movement on that. We will be right back with a little bit more woker joke. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
I'm not a robot without emotions. I'm not what you see. I've come to help you with your problems so we can be free.
All right, so I watched the video of the robot chess player. And by the way, I'm really happy I didn't get a robot vacuum. I was going to get one of those vacuums that roams around your house. And it was sold out at the time. And now I'm happy I didn't, because I don't trust them. I don't trust them. While the robot is crushing this 7-year-old's finger, there's another 7-year-old at a different chessboard who is, when I tell you this kid was unfazed, he didn't even flinch. He didn't take his hand off his own chess piece. He was just watching this
Once you take it off, that's the move. You're
Who's
done.
The real robot there? Am
yeah.
I right?
Yeah, good hey question. Yo. Of course, Jared comes up with a conspiracy theory within 40
seconds.
See, the
seconds. T1 had rubber skin. They were easy to identify. The T2, well, never mind.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's go to the headlines here. Let's go to who we had on the longest. Frank, you're next up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Frank?
Hi, I'm ready, yes.
Okay.
All right, Frank, here's your headline. World Economic Forum calls for an end to owning private vehicles.
I'm going to say that sounds woke.
That is woke. Very good.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
So we have like community vehicles?
Yes. Yeah.
Like a
public,
bus?
Public transport, ride sharing, all of that.
Drones will show up and pick you up and take you anywhere.
Chess playing robots.
No, I'm not getting you, in the car with
we'll
you.
We'll drag you by the knuckles.
If you make a wrong turn, that robot's going to crush
and
you.
You will be happy.
All right, let's go to Dave. You're last up on Woke or Joke. Are you ready for your headline, Dave?
I am.
All right, Dave, here's your headline. Pat Benatar won't sing Hit Me With Your Best Shot in wake of mass shootings.
Wow. That one, it's got to be a joke.
It's not, no. Oh. That was a big story.
No, I'm a loser.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
You are a loser, but there's always a chance you'll be a winner next week.
Her song's still on Spotify, though, so I mean, how sincere is she?
She's going to have to pull a Neil Young and just take her whole library off
Call
of Spotify.
All the radio stations. No more Hit Me With Your Best Shot. It's dead.
844-500-4242.
Hit Me With Your Best Snot.
We'll be back in the next hour with a lot to go over.
Best thought?
Maybe some Biden sound for you as well. Thank you, Taylor Cormier.
Best
This is the Grace Curley Show.